This is Bhajan Rahasyam class, October 23rd, 2010. Ashtamyam Sadhana. We're discussing the Bhajan, Nam Bhajan to level of Prem for the Bhava Bhakta, how he will practice Nam Bhajan to approach very quickly Prem, and how the Ajata Rati Sadhaka, the practitioner who has not attained Bhav, he will quickly attain. More quickly attain Prem by following the teachings of Ashtam Yam Sarana, or Prem Nam Bhajan, described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhajan Rahasyam. This whole chapter describes the intense Prema Braja Prem, and the highest form of Braja Prem is Gopi Prem. The Parakiya Bhav of Radharani and the Sakhist, their intense love towards Krishna. I saw one definition in Ujjala Nilamani. It says that the condensed euphoria of the Braja Gopis extends up to the peak of Mahabhav, which is an exalted state of love, which is very difficult even for Krishna's queens to attain, and which is understandable only by the Braja Gopis, the damsels of Braj. This is called Mahabhav. Mahabhav is filled with the sweet nectar that churns the heart. It's the highest pitch of Bhakti Ras. So this is, of course, an introduction to Mahabhav, and then we'll discuss Prem following in the footsteps of the Mahabhavati Gopis, and especially Radharani. Mahabhavati, she is imbued with, and she is the very personification of Mahabhav. We read yesterday that her mind is Mahabhav, her senses are Mahabhav. There's no interaction of spiritual mind and spiritual senses. There's no difference. Her mind is expressing Mahabhav, her senses are expressing Mahabhav, every form of her body is expressing Mahabhav towards Krishna, the Prem Vishay, the object of her intense love, her great bhav, her mahabhav. There are two levels of mahabhav. These ideas are described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and also in Ujjvala Nilamani and other books, especially Ujjvala Nilamani, which is a sequel to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami Pad. He says there's Rudha, R-U-D-H-A, Rudha, and Adi Rudha. Of course, Adi means, like we say, Adik, Adik Mas. That means extra. Rudha means advanced or newly germinated. And Adi Rudha is highly advanced. The Rudha Mahabhav is newly germinated. It's seen in a very slight way in the Dwarka Queens. And this is just depicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the last chapter, I believe, of the 10th canto, chapter 90, it talks about the queens of Dwarka experiencing some intense separation from Dwarkadish. They were playing some water sports in some pools there, and then Dwarkadish disappeared. Then the queens of Dwarka, they started calling out, "Oh, Osprey." Osprey is like a seagull type bird, a seabird. Oh, Osprey, you're crying throughout the night. Has your lover left you like our lover has left you? And then they turn and see the mountains, because on the coast of Dwarka, when you look towards the land, there's some small range of mountains. Oh, mountains, you're standing in one place. You're not moving. Are you stunned? Are you experiencing the sattvic vikar of stamba, which means to freeze in position and not move because of your intense, overwhelming pain of separation from your beloved like us? And so they were seeing human characteristics in the moving and non-moving members of the environment that they were in. So this is told in 90th chapter. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his purports on chapter 90, the 10th canto, he explains that here in this exhibiting this separation, this mood of partial, as is said in the translation of his purport in the BBT edition, says, in the mood of partial insanity, the partial insanity displayed by the queens of Dwarka somewhat parallels a drop of the Mahabhav, or the Adi Ruda Mahabhav of the Braja Gopis. So their Mahabhav is called Rudha, which means something is there in the queens, but generally it's the Acharyas of Ras, the Rasika Acharyas, they don't actually consider the intensity of the love of the Dwarka Mahishis to be actual Mahabhav, because their Rati, their heartfelt attachment for Krishna is called Samanjasa, Samanjasa Rati, and the Gopis is Samarta. And of course Kubja is Sadharani, quite commonplace. Sadharan means commonplace. Sadharani, rather ordinary, and lust, some lust was there for her selfish pleasure. So it's the so this Ruda is the intense feelings which appear in, beginning with Prem, which generates and intensifies septic bhavs. This, now when we say Adi Ruda, this Adi Ruda is the most mature and deepest form of Mahabhav, which is seen only in the Braja Gopis, and it's very deep emotions, and at their matured stage, this is the mature stage of Prem, which Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami explains that the Gopis Prem can be called, it's called Nirmal Vishuddha Prem. And to complicate the matter, we thought that we came to Krishna consciousness and the goal was Krishna Prema. Well, it is, but then we find out, well, there's Vaikuntha Prem and there's Braja Prem, and there's Vatsalya Prem and Sakya Prem, so many kinds of Prem and so many divisions of Prem. This Sneha Man, Pranaya Rag, Anurag, and then these seven divisions, then you take these to each of the Stai Ratis. If one is in Braja Prem and he's a Sakya and Sakya Rati, he has intense loving sentiments and attachment for Krishna as his friend, beloved bosom buddy, then he can experience, you can say, let's just to make it easy, prema sneha prem, or he can experience sneha pranaya, not really man, but sneha pranaya bhav, and think up to rag. There's some level. Then vatsalya goes to a certain level, but then the gopis of Braj goes sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, and then anurag, it intensifies and blossoms as Mahabhav, which sometimes is written Bhav and Mahabhav, but Bhav sometimes confuses people. They think it's the next stage of sadhana bhakti, Vaidhi sadhana, Raghunuga sadhana, then Bhava bhakti. But this Bhav, actually, it's Sneha Man Pranaya, Rag Anurag, Mahabhav, Ruta Mahabhav, and Adi Ruta Mahabhav. It's like this. So if you're not confused, then you are now. Actually, that's why I'm reading it, so there's no further, so I'm not confused. And in fact, different acharyas, they sometimes describe it differently. So when I was trying to collect a composite view of the subject, it was somewhat, sometimes a little difficult. So these are the two levels. So now, let's talk about this, the two types of Mahabhav. Mahabhav progresses. So there's Mahabhav, but then it progresses to two levels. One is called Modan, divine pleasures, and one is called Madan. And Madan, I'll just read it. People are listening later on the tapes. I can sit quietly and hear the systematic explanation. And you'll get some drops of understanding simply by sitting here submissively and hearing. So this is, when we come to Madan, this is Adi Ruda Mahabhav. Because it's Madan. You must have heard there's a term Madanakya Mahabhav. Madanakya. Especially in Radharani. So Madan, as you know, Madan Mohan. Madan means Cupid. So this Madan Adiruddha Mahabhav is called amatory intoxication. Means intoxication of love. Because Madan means Cupid, Mada means madness. Mada, right? Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moh, Mada Matsarya. That's Hindi, Sanskrit, the same. In English we say lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, intoxication, madness, etc. So Madan, when we say Adiruddha, we say Madan, Adiruddha Madan Bhav. Madan means Mada and Madan combined. Means Madan, Cupid, and Mada, intoxicated. So Cupid means love, and Mada means intoxicated. So it means amatory intoxication. Love's intoxication. I think everyone has some experience of how intoxicated they become under the impulse of love. Quote unquote, material love, which is nothing but lust. People become literally crazy. And gopis also, and Krishna becomes crazy too. So it all originates there. But there's no destruction. Here, craziness, everything leads to destruction because that's the nature of the material world. There's the beginning of your craziness, then you get destroyed or somebody else gets destroyed in your expression of craziness. You're crazy and you fall in love with someone else's husband. And then you get shot. So that crazy expression of love leads to your demise or destruction because it's generated from material energy, which has a beginning and an end. But the craziness in Madan, Adiruddha Madanbhav, is generated from Surup Shakti, which is nitya, it's eternal, and it goes on forever, and there's no destruction. And in fact, it enhances and increases the loving intimacy and pleasure and satisfaction of the members involved. No one loses, everyone wins. If you want a win-win situation, then we have to relocate en masse, en masse, sublog, Vaikuntha Prapti. Because this material world is, as they say, it's a losing proposition. Win, lose, you always lose. Isn't it? Even if you win all the money and all the land and all the fame, do you win it forever? Yeah. Sarvaharascham? Mrityu Sarvaharascham. Krishna says, oh, you're a big winner. You won at the tables. Big estate, big name, fame, gain, everything. Okay, now it's my turn to win. Let's play dice. Kala versus Jiva. Kala's time factor. Okay, let's have one more roll, see if you win. Look, you came up with the wrong number. Your number is death. And now I am death. And there you go, finished everything. Name, fame, gain, all lost. It's a lose-lose situation, obviously. So Madan, this is mildly intoxicated, amorous exhilaration experienced in the presence of Sri Krishna. It's the fullest development of all the bhavas of which Radharani alone is the only embodiment. So that's Madan Adiruddha Bhav. Then there's Mohan Adiruddha Bhav. So Madan eventually transforms into Mohan, which means, as like you're, Mada means you're intoxicated, you're in love, Mada. But then Mo means you become so intoxicated and so crazy that you think you're the beloved. Think, I am Krishna. Radharani sometimes thinks, I am Krishna. And Krishna thinks, I am Radha. And they have reverse roles. Viparita Bhav. And even Krishna dresses up as Radharani, Radharani dresses up as Krishna, and she starts speaking, hey, why you make me wait? One takes the role of the other one. And then Radharani says, oh no, my mother kept me home and I couldn't make it. No, you're with some other gopi. So they start exchanging. Radharani becomes fully Krishna in Bhav and in color, everything, in clothes. So this is Mohan. This is Mohan Adiruddha Bhav. Supremely wonderstruck astonishment. All these gems of divine emotion incessantly radiate in their supreme splendor. And they're this level of Adi Ruta Mahabhav, this is experienced when one is separated, when one experiences the absence of Krishna. So Madan, this is experienced in the presence, Madan Adi Ruta Bhav is experienced in the presence of Krishna. You're with your beloved and become totally intoxicated by the joy and bliss and intimacy of the exchange. Then in separation, there's bewilderment. But then we'll hear how this, they feel when they change their roles, they also feel separated. There are six characteristics of Mahabhav. In other words, ecstatic love of Mahabhav manifests the following five features. Once we understand the tattva and the elements of this is called prema tattva. When we understand the actual elements of prema tattva, then when we read shastra, like Ras Lila, for example, Srimad Bhagavatam, and we hear how the gopis, they couldn't, yuga yatam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayatam, yuga nimesha. They felt that the blinking of an eye, if I don't see Krishna for a blinking of an eye, it feels like a yuga. Okay, so what? What does that mean? Well, that happens to be one of the characteristics. When we read that, we'll understand that they're in Mahabhav. Then what type of Mahabhav? And so this is why it's impossible to be a rasik without knowledge of tattva and without purity of heart. Bhavuka. Bhavuka means rasika bhavuka. Bhavuka means the ones on the level of bhav, he can relish the ras and taste the ras because various bhavas combine together to produce bhakti ras, and it intensifies and the experience expands and blossoms more when one rises to prema. But if one has not reached the level of bhava, but he has good knowledge and understanding of rasa tattva, then when he reads the pastimes, he'll appreciate and have a much deeper experience and get much more ruchi, which will nourish his bhajan and drive him further and further on the path of Raganuga Sadhana to very quickly come to relish and qualify to relish that bhav. So the borderline is the entrance level to the divine pastimes of the Lord is a combination of understanding and qualification, which is equivalent to purity of the heart and the appropriate sentiments manifesting therein. But generally, and these are, you see Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's a classic, it's a story, and the story is extracted and presented in its kind of gut level in a book called Chaitanya Shikshamrita. The story aspect is taken out of it, and it's just the basic philosophical components are explained there in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. But we like stories. It's Kali Yuga, we like stories. So then to read Jiva Dharma is a classic treatise on disciple meets guru. Disciple meets guru. In fact, it was two disciples. And they met guru. And they had questions. And they had doubts. And they were given spiritual knowledge, paramarthic gyan, bhakti gyan. They were given spiritual knowledge. And there are questions, and there are so many questions they asked. All the questions are there. And so in the course of the exchange between guru and disciple, it was a classic example of the school, the gurukula. The aspiring disciple approaches a guru. He submits there at his feet. Then he makes suitable inquiry. Then he begins to perform various serious bhajan according to the method given by his guru. So in this case, they were given the method of bhajan of Naam, chanting the name, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And they chanted and chanted, and as they chanted, and they would meet with the guru and learn jiva tattva, and bhakti tattva, sambandha tattva, videya tattva, rasa tattva, they would learn all the aspects of bhakti gyan, of Krishna sambandha, and that simultaneously they were practicing their sadhana, bhajan. And with this combination of the ingress of transcendental knowledge and the expression and practice of their own or their own endeavor and the mercy of the Guru coming through that knowledge, they rose to the level of bhava, chanting Om Gurudev. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, somehow tears are coming in our eyes and our hair, some preliminary symptoms, sattvic bhavas were coming. And the Guru said, oh, this is very nice. Now we can teach some higher level studies here. So this is a basic progress of any exchange of knowledge between a teacher and a student. There would be beginning knowledge, intermediate, and advanced level. Yes? So this is nice. So we come into this. This is an educational institution. Prabhupada, as far as I understand, and from my experience in this ISKCON institution, is that Prabhupada intended it to be an educational and cultural movement. Am I right? Educational and cultural movement. Computer education or secular education? No. Spiritual education. Gaudiya Vaishnav Tattva Siddhanta. This is what he wanted to give and teach the world. And he wanted to present this spiritual knowledge in the framework of a culture, a spiritual culture, a God-based, God-centered culture. Gaudiya Vaishnav culture, specifically, or in a broader way, the Vedic paradigm, the original Vedic culture, somewhat, of course, modernized for the present-day times. But this was his idea, and so I think everyone's well aware of that. But the cultural aspect we've somewhat adopted and tried to spread individually by our own practices and through our outreach programs. But the educational side of things has been a little bit neglected for various different reasons. Need for expansion, need for solidifying the foundation, expanding the membership, for whatever reason. So now everyone's running very quickly trying to catch up for lost time. There's educational institutions here and there and doing a very nice job to give a more exact knowledge of the subject matter. So all these tattvas are to be known. Because we're going to Prem Dham Vrindavan. So what is Prem and what is Prem Dham? And so it's all these things. You don't just drop in there and say, Hare Krishna. if we don't know the movements of the leelas and the feelings and sentiments, and we won't understand what service is needed now, what to say or what to do, we'll be totally in the dark, as they say. The six characteristics of Mahabhava, the eternal associates of Radha and Krishna, Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari and Lavanga Manjari, they've come into this world as Sanatana and Rupa and Rati, and painlessly writing and writing and writing, because Bhakti Shastra Likana, Radharani asked them. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is in Radha Bhava, and so when he's speaking, is Radharani speaking? He said, oh, Sanatana Rupa, Bhakti Shastra Likana. Please write Bhakti Shastras. Yes. So they wrote. So who'd they write it for? College professors doing studies in Southeast Asian religions or Indian religions of the subcontinent, esoteric religions of the subcontinent of India. My comparative religion thesis for Harvard University. Now these books are for us. You go to universities, they're studying Rupa Goswami's, you know, theistic theology, you know, based on Ujjvalini Lamani. That's our book. You're writing a PhD. You're getting a PhD in Ujjvalini Lamani, and I never heard of it. I never read it. I don't even know what it is. And it's my book. It's my family book. It's my great-grandfather wrote it for me. You're not even in the family. What are you doing looking at this book? Very odd situation. Because I remember when I was in college, and even now, when I was doing college preaching, I meet professors. Yes, I'm doing my thesis on Ramananda Sambhag, chapter 8 of Madhya Lila. I said, you're doing your PhD thesis on the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, which is the highest, most esoteric spiritual dialogue that's ever manifested on the face of the earth in all time to come. In which I said, he said, yes, I've studied Bengali and I know Sanskrit. And it's very interesting. I said, yes, indeed, it's very interesting. So they have an appetite for it. They're right into it. Well, what about us? So these are the six characteristics of Mahabhav. Intolerance of blinking eyes. And you, of course, everyone's familiar of the gopis saying, Brahma, Hey, Vidata. Vidata means providence or creator. Hey, Vidata, you are stupid. You are childish. Even a child have more brains than to make eyes like you made. Why do our eyes blink so we, for that one truti, which is 1/17th of a second, for one truti we can't see Krishna. You fool. If you had any at the least bit of appreciation for the incredible beauty and sweetness of Krishna, you would never, ever make such faulty eyes. Your eyes will never sell in the marketplace. You better go to China and learn how to make good eyes. Fast eyes. Inferior product you're producing. Oh, look on the back of this eyeball. Oh, made by Brahma. This is not good. This is Bekar. Oh, look at this. This eyeball is made by Radharani. Ah, this is a good one. this is the best product in the market. I'll buy this eyeball. Right? You know, some countries don't make good products, you know. So they said, intolerance to the blinking of the eyes, and then agitated heart. That's number two. And number three is perceiving a kalpa to be a moment. A kalpa means thousands of years. Four, suffering in union due to apprehension of future suffering in separation. So this is the amazing phenomenon of the gopis' love. They're with Krishna, and that's why I said that even this Mahabhava has experienced, they're with Krishna, they're right there, but they're actually apprehensive. They're worrying that soon he'll leave and go with the coward boys, or soon he'll go home, and they start suffering. They're intimately connected with the very object, the reservoir of pleasure, as Prabhupada said. Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure. And they're thinking, oh, this is all going to end very soon. And they start crying. And Krishna says, why are you crying? Because I know that this night, this Maharas will end. He said, what do you mean? It's going on for a day of Brahma. It's going on for millions of years. Relax, enjoy, dance, sing. No, it's all too soon. It will all end. And I'm already feeling at the end of it. So Krishna was, even they say sometimes, the acharyas say, this is one reason why I went to Mathura. Because when they were with Krishna, they were feeling suffering and about apprehensive of losing him. And then when they were separated from him, they were suffering. But then when they were separated, they were so intensely suffering, they would see him in their separation. There's a phrase, there's a song, they say, when I'm with Krishna, I see one Krishna. When I'm separated from Krishna, I see thousands of Krishnas. Which is better than seeing one Krishna, in case you can't figure that out. So this is the speciality of this separation in Mahabhav, that Krishna actually comes there. Five is bewilderment, forgetting everything, even yourself. Six is, one is perceiving a kalpa to be a moment, another is perceiving a moment to be a kalpa. In other words, when the gopis are a moment away from Krishna, it seems like a million years. And when the gopis are with Krishna for a million years, it seems to fly by in a moment. So these are the six characteristics of Mahabhav. That's general, because we said there's Ruda Mahabhav and Adi Ruda Mahabhav. So these are general characteristics will be found in both. Now there's some speciality of each of these two types of Mahabhav. Stage one of Mahabhav is Rudha, and stage two is Adi Rudha. So what are the characteristics of Rudha Bhav? The characteristics of Rudha Bhav pertain to both the body and mind. This is what happens in this when one's at the level of Rudha Mahabhav, that the five or six, there's eight sattvic bhavs, Romancha, Kampa, Ashru, Shved, Vepatu, Vaivarnya, then Stamba and Pralaya. There's hair standing on end, there's Ashru, there's choking of the voice, there's change, there's pallor or change of bodily color, there's fainting, and they're like this. These are the eight symptoms. So these five, six, or all eight of these sattvic bhavs in their most excited form, Udipta, appear at the same time. This is one characteristic of Rudha Mahabhav. That's in the body. Udipta. Then there's a mental change. You can't bear a second separation from Krishna. And your behavior agitates the hearts of others. An example. In the Kurukshetra meeting, when Krishna met the Brajagopis, he came from Dwarka and all the queens were there, and Krishna was there, and everybody, the gopis from Vrindavan. The sweet stream of Mahabhav gushing from the hearts of the Brajagopis stirred the hearts of the queens of Vrindavan, and it caused signs of Rudha Mahabhav in them. The gopis, the queens, and there's verses there also in the Bhagavatam. The queens are called Dwarka Mahishi. Mahishi means queen. When they came to Kurukshetra during the solar eclipse, and they saw, of course, Dwarkadish was there, but then they saw the Brajagopis and how they would look at, quote-unquote, their Dwarkadish, and the feelings they were radiating, they became agitated. They became affected by that Mahabhav Prabhav. They became affected by that Mahabhav Prabhav, and they became agitated. And then they talked about it. So this is an example of how the Mahabhav of the gopis is causing agitation or mental change. Three, sorrow through apprehension or distress. The Brajagopis are happily enjoying with Sri Krishna, yet their extreme concern for Krishna's happiness makes them sad, because they apprehend that their behavior is displeasing Krishna, even though it gives him the supreme joy. And this is mentioned in the Viraha Gita, chapter 31, verse 19. So this is because generally when lovers are together, they're preoccupied with their own pleasure primarily, and in a minimal way interested in pleasing the beloved. So the gopis are thinking that all of our efforts to please Krishna and to satisfy Krishna's every wish and whim, I think it's insufficient. They have what we would call an inferiority complex. Oh, I'm not a very good lover. I'm not so sweet. I'm not so tender. I'm not so skillful in all of the intimacies and ways of love. And probably Krishna's not really very happy with me. I'm trying my best to please him, but I don't think it's good enough. But Krishna's experiencing the peak of exhilaration and the epitome of satisfaction from the loving services rendered by the gopis. But this is one of the characteristics of this Rudha Mahabhav, that they're apprehensive. They even become sad about it. Oh, it's of course a little inconceivable. And then I said this is perceiving a yuga to pass in a moment. Here's an example. The rasa dance was as long as a night of Brahma. But the ecstatic joy which the cowherd damsels of Braj experienced and Shyam's association made that inconceivably long night appear to them to pass in a moment. So that we talked about. Then this is the fifth characteristic, perceiving a moment to be a yuga. Example, Krishna said, "Alas, Uddhava, when I was in Vrindavan with the Braja Gopis, those nights together passed by in a moment. But now that I'm here in Dwarka, a single night appears to drag on for a yuga." This is mentioned by Bhagavan Sri Krishna in 11th canto, chapter 12, verse 11. Then the sixth characteristic of Rudra Mahabhav is they become self-forgetful, which is we've discussed before. This is a very interesting phenomenon in the Brajagopis, that sometimes we have selfless workers, selfless humanitarian worker or charitable person. So they sacrifice their time and they spend many sleepless nights caring for the sick and the poor and the downtrodden in various cities around the world or calamitous situations wherever they may arise. But underneath it all, in the back of it all, no matter how altruistic they are and how compassionate and loving and caring they are, they never forget themselves. They always know, I am so-and-so. I am mother so-and-so. Or I am father so-and-so. Or whatever. And they may even be somewhat motivated for some subtle gratification in terms of recognition or acknowledgement, some kind of award or reward or publicity. But even if that's not there, they're just doing it for the sheer sake of humanity or as so-called, quote-unquote, God's work. They will not forget themselves. The gopis become so forgetful that they forget to eat. They forget to dress. They forget to sleep. They're totally forgetful. They don't even know if they're gopis or if they're Krishna, if they're to this extent. So there's the state of forgetting everything and almost fainting due to their intense loving attachment for Sri Krishna. And the Braja gopis lose consciousness of themselves and everything else except Krishna. So, in other words, to make a little more clear, we never actually lose ourselves in some endeavor or some activity to help others, but we never lose a sense of, where we are. Unless it's called being disoriented. There's some psychological diseases where it's called disorientation, where he can't really figure out where he is. And usually those people, they go in some kind of psychiatric hospital because they can't figure out how to get down the street. they have no bearing of where they are. Their consciousness is in some other situation. They forget everything except Krishna. And it's interesting when you think of you compare the gopis to us. We forget Krishna, remember everything else. Sound familiar? Krishna? Oh, I chanted his name sometime in the crack of dawn. Around 5 o'clock, I said, Hare Krishna. And that's the last I heard of him. That's the last I saw. Hey, excuse me. What time is it? 8 o'clock in the night. Have you seen Krishna? No, I haven't seen him. Have you heard him? I heard something about him at 5 o'clock in the morning. But the gopis, it says that they lose consciousness of almost everything, including themselves and everything else except Krishna. So we lose all consciousness of Krishna which means we lose all Krishna consciousness, and we remember everything else and anything else that may come our way. At least speaking for myself, I can say that. So it's interesting, because in any type of analysis, there's always the idea of compare and contrast. Are there similarities? Are there differences? Do we have any similarities with the Braja Gopis? No. Do we have any differences? A lot. Everything different. We're everything different and trying to be the same. Interesting. Play on words. Although the Braja Gopis do not swoon and faint in ecstatic rapture, because that would not be conducive for Krishna's happiness, if they are embracing Krishna and experiencing this Ruda Mahabhav and feeling a kapha to be a moment and be apprehensive in sorrow that, oh, it's all going to be over soon and we'll be separated, and to feel deficient and inadequate in your attempt to please Krishna, and all those feelings which sound somewhat in the negative side combine together and accelerate and expand. They can take you through the sattvic bhavas to the platform of pralaya. Pralaya means destruction. Pralaya means devastation. But in terms of rasa, the acharyas say that this is not conducive to the flow of love. If the nayak or the nayaka gets annihilated, then it's a very broken love story. Krishna's love story is not an Indian movie, where in the last scene, at least modern Indian movies, which are rather untraditional and even un-Vedic, but in modern Indian, or let's say movies, Western also, the last scene, the hero gets shot. Dead. And then the heroine is, and then the movie closes. And you walk out, ah. So the gopis, their ecstasy rises to such a pitch of frenzy, of divine ecstatic rapture, that in any other individual, they would completely lose it, as we say. They would swoon and, ah. You see that also in movies, the lover faints. I'm leaving you. Ah. Whatever. I mean, old movies. Now the husband says, I'm leaving you. She says, great, leave. And then all the young girls in the audience are watching that and saying, gee, that's what marriage is. It just, you don't have any feelings. All the young children, teenagers are getting programmed to be insensitive and detached and selfish and me-centered. So when they grow up, they can be good divorcees. The modern Kali Yugites. The movies and newspapers are the Pravachan wing of Kali. This is his educational program. Movies and mundane literature to reshape the consciousness of the residents of Kali. Isn't it? Big time. Change your thinking, change your consciousness, change your values, and then that changes everything. It changes your dress, it changes your speech, it changes your actions. And what do you have? Ulta Dharma. Viparita Dharma. Animals. Polished animals. As Prabhupada would say. Nowadays they don't even polish. Just sheer animals without the polish. So they don't swoon or faint in ecstatic rapture. What do? They exist in a perpetual state of conscious samadhi. Very wonderful description by one of our acharyas. The gopis in this experiencing this Ruda Mahabhav, they exist in a perpetual state of conscious samadhi, because there's Jagran, there's Swapna, and there's Susupti. Jagran is consciousness, awake. And Swapna, we know about that. That's the second state of consciousness. So you're going there. You're going towards Susupti. You'll be in a soup before long. Susupti. And then keep going, and Turiya. Turiya means samadhi. But generally, when one enters Swapna, as we well know, or the deeper states of Susupti, which we rather rarely even touch in our sleeping state, and what to speak of the exalted divine separation of Atma from Hankar at the state of Turiya, all of these higher, lower, whatever you want to call alternative states of consciousness are subconscious. You're not conscious. I mean, you're not conscious like eyes open speaking. The gopis are speaking, they're interacting, they're touching, they're feeling Krishna, but it's a perpetual state of consciousness. They're in samadhi. Because when you're in samadhi, it's samadhi, the intelligence. Everything is collected at one point, samadhi. So their whole being, their mind, their heart, their feelings, their words, everything's Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. But they're conscious. So they're seeing Krishna, speaking to Krishna, touching Krishna, serving Krishna, remembering Krishna, feeling Krishna. Everything. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey. A beautiful phrase. Because, okay, it's easy. You can faint in ecstasy. They fainted in divine ecstasy. Okay, then you're out of commission. you're kind of useless to the world. You're fainted. You're relishing your bhavas to such an extent they propelled you into a state of swoon, and you've collapsed on the stage floor or on the floor of the Rasamandal in a divine ecstatic rapture of pralaya, sattvic sudipta bhav, and you're just what we would say in modern terms. You become dysfunctional. For all intents and purposes, you can't speak. You can't. You're selfishly swimming in your own ecstasy, which is your own absorption of samadhi. Well, that's, we could say, selfish samadhi. One man samadhi. Hey, this is a small boat. This is a one man boat. Hey, these little small boats, like kayaks or something, like kayak or canoe. Then they have two-man boats, and they have 10-man boats, and they have rowing races or something like that. So the gopis, they want to be conscious because they are for Krishna. All the gopis experience samadhi, enter samadhi, and collapse on the rasa mandal. Then where's the rasa dance? So they're in samadhi, but they're existing in a perpetual state of conscious samadhi. Eyes open samadhi. Krishna's telling in the Gita that it's impossible to enter samadhi with the eyes open. He says, madhya bru. Madhya bru. Bru means brow. It's interesting. In Sanskrit, bru. B-H-R-U means eyebrow. Madhya means middle. He's telling sixth chapter, the yoga chapter, which he's teaching. Yama, niyama, asan, pranayama, pratyahara, and dharana, and jivana smriti, then on samadhi. He's teaching how the yogis enter samadhi. So they're with eyes half closed, staring at the tip of the nose. You read in the Bhagavad Gita. Brahmachari in a lonely place, secluded place. And if the yogi says, hey yogi, go under the full moon night of the rasa dance and dance all night with Krishna. Can you be in samadhi? Music, pakawaj, and Damaru and so Saroj and so many things. Swara Mandala, all these instruments. Supposed to go in a cave in the Himalayas. You go 20 feet inside a cave, you can't hear anything but the Anahata Shabda. The Anahata Shabda is the seven sounds vibrating in the core of the heart. And so they if you're not in a cave, then you block your eye, like they have some mudras they do, block their nose, eyes, ears like this. And block out the gates, higher gates of the body, block out and try to catch the Anahata Shabda. But if you go in the Himalayas, and not in the surface, you go in the back of the cave, you can only hear, you can hear those sounds in your meditation without, you don't have to go like this and this and this. We just go Hare Krishna. It's easier. You have one hand to, you know, play with. It's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This guy uses both hands. Everyone's wide awake. Oh, mysticism. You know, yoga. Susumna nadi. Pingala, Ida, chakras. If you read the shastras, if someone is chanting Hare Krishna, if someone is chanting the Maha Mantra, it's understood that he's already practiced Astanga Yoga for 100 lifetimes and Gyan Yoga for 100 lifetimes. And now he's on the highest, topmost path of bhajan and God realization and simply chanting the Maha Mantra, Radha Krishna Yuga Mantra. Rogi, bogi, yogi. We don't want to be a yogi. We don't want to be a rogi. We don't want to be a bogi. We want to be a premi, Krishna premi, Radha premi. And the way to become a Radha premi is to chant Radhe, Radhe, Hare, Hare, Krishna, Krishna, Sham, Sham. What more? Prem yogi. And sometimes people have that title, you know. Mahamandaleshwar, Jagat Guru, Prem yogi. Yeah, they have at least. These fancy names. You go to hardware, you find all these fancy names. In 1981, we lived in Rishikesh, Lakshman Julian Road. We had a preaching center from the ISKCON Krishna Balaram Temple there. Nagaraj Das was the chief editor of BTG. Nagaraj Das and myself and Krishna Balaram Swami. He's a Balaram Sharma. He's born at Vrindavan. He's now has his own mission, preaching mission. But we were all together there for some time, and we used to meet all these big so-called yogis with their big institutions and ashrams, and they had some pretty interesting names. So now, that was Ruda Mahabhav. Now, these are some characteristics of Adi Ruda Mahabhav, which is the advanced state of Mahabhav. Adi Ruda Mahabhav is a special sublimation of Ruda Mahabhav. Basically, there's Mahabhava. It has two halves. There's Ruda and Mahabhava. There's Ruda and Adi Ruda. There's Rudha and Adi Ruda. And that's definition. It's from Ujjal Nilamani 1.1.1.2.3. Adi Ruda Mahabhava is a special sublimation of Ruda Mahabhava. It's found only in the Braja Gopis. Although Adi Ruda Mahabhava is indescribable, Rupa Goswami cites a quote, verse 124 from Ujjal Nilamani, to give some vague idea with an example, which he took from Puran. Lord Shiva said, O Parvati, if all the joys and sorrows of Vaikuntha and unlimited Brahmandas were collected in two heaps or in two piles, one pile or mountain of joy and one pile of sorrow from all the Vaikuntha planets and all the Brahmandas, which means all the material and spiritual worlds, basically. They would not equal even a shadow of a drop of the joy and sorrow that Radharani experiences in her love for Krishna. Of course, too much prem mucky. Even the flies have prem in Vrindavan. Listen, Parvati, if all the joys and sorrows of Vaikuntha and the Brahmandas were collected together in two piles, they would not equal a shadow of a drop of the joy and sorrow that Radharani experiences in her love for Krishna. Of course, the transcendental sorrow Radhika feels in separation from Shyam is even more relishable than union. Now, this is Shiva, Shankar Bhagavan. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu ki jai. He's speaking tattva, rasa tattva, radha mahima, the glories of Radharani to the great Parvati. Parvati is considered to be the most beautiful woman in all creation. I mean, this side of things. Of course, Lakshmi Devi is another level of comparison. Put Shachi and Arundhati and all the great ladies of this world and devis and consorts of the various devas. She is par excellent, Parvati. Her grace, her beauty, everything. Unbelievable. But she's learning something about Radharani. There are two kinds of Adi Ruda Mahabhav, which this is a review of what you heard, Modan and Madan. Modan means meeting. This occurs when the sattvic bhavas attain a special especially heightened charm in both Radha and Krishna. Modan Adiruddha Mahabhav is found only in Radha and her group of gopis because it arises from their madhu sneha. This is their sneha has a particular sweetness to it, like honey, which is not found outside of Radharani's group, her paksha sakis. Modan Adiruddha Mahabhav develops into Mohan in separation when the sattvic bhavas accelerate or rise to the level of sudipta. There's udipta and sudipta. Radharani is the only ashray of Mahabhav of this level, this Mohan, which is sometimes called Mohanakya. And she regularly displays this. So tomorrow we'll discuss some characteristics of Adiruddha Mohan Mahabhav, because this chapter, Ashtamayam Sadhana, is going to describe, because this is the last chapter of this Nam Bhajan, Prem Nam Bhajan. So who is the perfectional exemplar, the perfectional embodiment of the goal which we hope to attain? It is Srimati Radharani. She is the embodiment of love, the greatest love. Her prema is the greatest, her worship is the greatest, her form is the greatest, her devotees are the greatest, her Krishna is the greatest form of Krishna, her Sridham Vrindavan is the greatest. So her greatness is established by the depth and strength of her love. And this is the description of that entity that she possesses, that Mohanakya or Mohan Adiruddha Mahabhava.